for the word today. Thank you, Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. We're gonna do a lesson this morning, a message that I started Thursday night, and I thought I would wait two more weeks on Thursday to finish it. But it dropped in me yesterday to continue in this message today. So we're going to do a little bit of review over some of the things we've talked about of late before we get into this message, and hopefully we will get into it today. Mark chapter 16. And verse 17, Jesus says, after he's risen from the dead, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Do you believe? The signs are supposed to follow you. It says in verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. The first church understood they were supposed to be operating in signs and wonders as the church. We've been in the book of Acts and looked lately that where they went, signs followed. The first church was a church of miracle-working power. Go to Hebrews. Chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2, let's start at verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us, unto them that heard him, unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His will. Say, gifts of the Holy Ghost. God confirms what He's doing through gifts, through signs, through power. Romans chapter 13. Romans 15, I'm sorry. Verse 18, Paul says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by the word and deed. Through mighty signs and wonders, oh, mighty signs, by the power, that word power there is dunamis or dunamis, the dynamite energizing power of God. It's the same word that's used in the New Testament for miracles. Amen. Through mighty dunamis power of the Spirit of God. It's supernatural if it's of the Spirit of God. Supernatural doesn't mean eerie, it means above the natural, what we can't produce of the natural realm. It says that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, that sounds better, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Apparently, the Word of God lets us know that unless signs and wonders are accompanying what's preached, it's not been fully preached yet. Amen? I mean, have you guys ever made a cake, or not guys, probably, or whoever, any of you ever made a cake, and you had to keep checking to see if it was done yet? You'd look in and, hey, if you could still stir it with a spoon, it wasn't done. Remember as kids, you couldn't wait for that cake to get done? Mom, is it done yet? It had to finish cooking to be ready. Well, until signs and wonders accompanying the Word, or the church and the Word, we're not finished. Not only that, God's church has always been intended to operate in supernatural power. One of the greatest ploys, one of the greatest cons ever passed on to the world was the image of a church without power. An image of a church operating by man's intellect, man's efforts, man's building programs, a church without the supernatural. The enemy is an expert at counterfeiting. He's an expert. You know, we keep changing our currency to try to stay one step above the counterfeiters. If you go to some foreign countries, they would tell you they will not accept some of the old $100 bills we have because they're too easy to counterfeit. We were in Ghana a few years ago, and they had a sign at one of the cash exchange centers. We accept no $100 bills with a small head. Remember when Franklin used to have a small head? Now he's got a fills the whole thing. In other words, they're saying, we don't want the old money. It's too easy to counterfeit. We want the new stuff. Well, Satan also, no matter what extension into revival God takes, he's always attempting to counterfeit it. There was a time when if a church spoke in tongues, you knew they were supernatural. The early Pentecostal churches all carried the gifts of the Spirit. The early Pentecostal churches were all seeing people healed and seeing the power of God manifested. Why? Because it was a new thing God had released and the power of God was there, and you knew if you went to a tongue-talking church, you were going to see something. Not anymore. The enemy has counterfeited. He has counterfeited the charismatic church or even the Pentecostal church. Not that they're fake, but he stripped the power out of them. And a $100 bill may look just the same, but the counterfeit one carries no power to purchase with it. Are you guys following what I'm getting at? And Satan's always trying to follow up on what God's releasing, because God's building the church through released revelation, released understanding of the Word, even increased outpouring God's releasing. And Satan knows if he ever lets that go unchecked, it will spread around the world and bring forth God's harvest and revival. So he's got to say, I'm going to try to counterfeit this. I've got to try to copy this. You know, 20 years ago, actually, the first I ever heard it was out of Grace Ministries. We had a saying arise that God is good all the time. And I prophesied, this probably would have been in 1996 or 7, I prophesied that saying will go around the world. And I also prophesied, but it will be spoken by people that have no comprehension of what they're saying and there'll be no power with it. And now everywhere you go, people are saying God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. It doesn't mean a thing to them. We were preaching God is good because we were proclaiming that he's the God that heals us and the God that prospers us, the God that blesses us. Now we've got churches standing up saying God is good all the time, and then they'll say, and he put sickness on you to teach you a lesson, and he killed your baby because he needed another angel in heaven. There's no revelation or power tied to the statement. What's happening? Satan's counterfeiting. He will copy whatever he can to make it look like he's the leading edge church. Amen. He will replicate whatever he can to make it look like that church is the one fully preaching the gospel. But you know what we preach has to line up with the Word of God. And when it fully does, we will see signs and wonders following. So now on our $100 bills, we've got that new holographic stripe. Anybody know what they're called? Holographic stripe. We have the new stripe. How many has anybody not seen the stripes on the $100 bills now? There's a colored stripe. It's like a holographic band embedded in it. More than just some threads. Used to be you'd look for the watermark or the threads. Well, guess what? The counterfeiters started counterfeiting threads and watermarks. But now they've put a band on them. that is almost impossible for a person to counterfeit. You would have to be highly sophisticated to do it. Because we have countries counterfeiting our money, trying to water down the value of our currency, right? Get us to distrust the money system. And so that stripe makes it very, very difficult to counterfeit $100 bills now. Amen. They've instituted something that declares this is a real bill. Well, God, from the beginning, put a stripe on His church, or a mark on His church that said, this is the church I am backing. This is the church carrying forth my leading His message right now. And as the church is displaying my power. Now understand, the Word talks about those bringing forth lying signs and wonders. The enemy will even counterfeit the giftings. Amen. But you know what he can't counterfeit? The anointing. Well, actually, he'll even try that. I shouldn't have said he'll counter. He'll bring the spirit of sorrow and make people think it's the anointing. Oh, you're feeling the broken heart of God. Anything that the leading is church or whatever God's releasing on the church, the enemy's going to try to copy. But the thing is, the most difficult time replicating are the supernatural miracles of God. Hey, the people can stand up and prophesy through a demonic power. You can prophesy through the demonic. Familiar spirits give people words of knowledge. And you'll think, oh, they are really tapped into God. They had a word. Well, there's a chance that word came through a familiar spirit. Mediums. Witches, amen, warlocks, those tampering with that area of the demonic have all learned how to tap into things that look like potentially are birthed from God. Amen. But you know what they can't replicate? That blind eye opening, that deaf ear opening, or even that. There can be a blinding spirit that's lifted off. Limbs growing out. Can't replicate the peace of God you feel or the love of God that comes on you. God has a mark, an identifying mark on His end time church. He has placed there to mark them as those He is moving through for that time. Do you follow me? And it's the power of God in manifestation. Here's the point I want to make. The enemy has counterfeited the church so much that you've got to look at, you may have to attend 90 churches to find one out actually moving in the power of God anymore. You've got to go to a bunch of churches to find one that even believes in laying hands on the sick publicly. That will pray in tongues publicly. That will cast out devils. Amen. Because the enemy is, the biggest con he's ever pulled, what I was getting at, is he stripped the power away from his church, from God's church, and made people believe that's really because they've got a lot of people in the building, that's where God's moving. Numbers do not identify a move of God. Signs and wonders identify a move of God. When they crucified Jesus, what did the multitude say? Crucify. Did that mean that was a move of God because most people got behind it? Those were religious people. Those were Jewish people hollering, crucify. But it wasn't God. You know what was God? You know who was following God? The one that rose from the dead. God's church is to be a church of power. And the people of God make a big mistake if they come to church and don't expect power to manifest. Again, we brought this out Thursday night. I'm talking about the first, I think, week I was here. I said, I want a banner made, put on that wall. This is expect miracles. There it is. Because I want everybody comes in to expect miracle power to manifest. And if it doesn't, if our church service is not about generically for the worldwide, if the church service is not seeing any, if the service is never seeing the supernatural move of God on a frequent level, you need to reject it. Something's missing. Just because people gather together, and meet at a specific time of the week or whatever, come in on Sunday morning, just because they sing some hymns and just because, you know, they take up an offering and they hear a word, doesn't mean that's the church. It may be defined as a church, but it is not the church. I'm not saying they're not going to heaven. I believe they believe in Jesus, they may be going to heaven, but that's not the church God had in mind when he said for us to gather together. It was to be a church of power. And again, if you read the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, where Jesus commands John to write seven letters to seven churches, five of the churches were in trouble. Amen. And I'll bet some of those even had signs and wonders operating. God's looking for a church moving out in truth and in power in these end times. You know, I brought this out Thursday. I'll say it again for Jean's benefit because she enjoyed it Thursday night. But when I was a kid, and I think we had almost 100% agreement here Thursday night, I love chocolate. I love fudge. You know, we didn't buy a whole lot of store-bought candy. We made fudge. All the time made fudge. And I knew what they put in it. I could see. And I knew the key ingredient was that cocoa. And I thought, if cocoa's good in the fudge, I bet it's good by itself. So I remember getting the fudge, having to pry open that cap. Remember the cap popped in? Popped that thing up with a butter knife. Took me a big spoon of cocoa, put it in my mouth, and had a revelation. Something's missing. The milk, the butter, the sugar, whatever else, vanilla, it was not in there. And I realized, fudge good, cocoa by itself evil. So we talked about this. Remember, you put the spoon of cocoa in your mouth and you go, and it sucks all the water out of your mouth, and all you just go, poof, poof. Just blowing brown clouds out into the air. And revivalists, really God's people, have to come to the revelation that church without the anointing and without the power, the visible manifested signs and wonders of God, is like eating cocoa instead of fudge. It was never intended to be. I've never met anybody. I've never met anyone. Now, see, here's what we did when I was young. We'd gather at my grandfather's, our favorite place to be, and they go make these pans of fudge. They might make several of them because we'd have the house full of, might have, his little bitty house, we might have 30 people in that place spending the night. I mean, blankets laid on the floor, people everywhere. We make all these pans of fudge. We gather around his little bitty, I think it was a 13-inch black and white TV, and watch Bonanza or something. And eat that fudge. But I've never heard of anybody. I've never heard of a family. Maybe you can enlighten me. I've never met a group of people that gathered and they passed around a bowl of cocoa and they were dipping their spoons in. It's not the same. But we do it in the church. You ate cocoa, you passed around a bowl of cocoa at your house. That explains some things. Stephanie and I, we understand. Normal people don't do that. We would know something was wrong. Yet in the church, churches all over the place, people are doing just that. They're taking a bite of cocoa and saying, this is fudge. But it's not because there's missing ingredients. There's a bunch of components missing in that cocoa that actually make it palatable, make it desirable. Amen? And God never ordained for the church not to have the supernatural inherent within it. And to do so is to eat that which is not acceptable. But guess what? If all you ever had was cocoa, never had fudge, you may think it's okay. But once I've tasted of the good things of God, I know I can't go back to just cocoa anymore. It would be obvious something was wrong. I can't go back to just dead Christianity. I can't go back to just playing church games. If the supernatural's not in the services, if I'm not seeing the power of God move, I don't want anything to do with it. Amen. I've got to see God's power and blessing poured out. But in the church today, much of it's been stripped away. But for the most part, Americans are oblivious to it. In fact, the funny thing is I know an individual. I know an individual. Somebody sent him in the mail a $100 bill when the new ones came out. And he pulled it out of an envelope, and there was a big picture of Ben Franklin on it, instead of the little one. And he goes, this is a joke, and he threw it away. He went looking through the trash later when he found out, but it was too late. He threw away a $100 bill because he thought it was a joke. Bills don't have big pictures of Ben Franklin on them. This is a joke. And today, the church in America... In America, the church that's moving in the power of God today, to them is a joke. That's not real church. They're actually laying hands on people and people are falling out in the Holy Ghost. They're speaking in tongues in the service. They're prophesying. That's not church. Because they've learned to accept a falsified version of what church really is. And now they can't tell what the real thing is. Amen. I don't want powdered cocoa. I refuse powdered eggs. I hate powdered potatoes. And the worst of all of them is powdered milk. When I was a kid, my grandmother lived with us for several years, and she would try to give us Carnation instant milk. None of us would touch it. She'd even mix it up and put it in the real milk jug with part of the other milk. We take one drink and say, no, Grandma, we're not doing this. No. I'll eat the cereal dry. I'm not doing this. I hate powdered any kind of thing that's supposed to be a real food. Amen. Now, powdered hot chocolate or fraps, those are good. But if it's supposed to be a solid food, I don't ever want it in a powdered form. Amen. My kids eat instant potatoes. They ought to be illegal. The point is, once I've had the real thing, I don't want the artificial. I don't want artificial sweeteners, right? I want sugar if I'm going to eat it at all. Corn syrup is a suitable substitute. We've gotten accustomed to that, right? You know they're selling the drinks again now that have the real sugar in them? They're calling them throwbacks or, vintage drinks or whatever. And we've gotten so accustomed to the corn syrup versions, it's like now the old ones taste different. Still good. And I don't want neutered Christianity. Amen. So in this church, we're going to take every effort we can to maintain a flow of the anointing and expect the gifts of the Spirit to move, that we never fall prey to just ordinary church. Woody Woodson, you guys know Woody, comes here and ministers quite often. His father was a genius. His father studied with Einstein. Einstein, when he was about to die, or close to, you know, the end of his life, they wanted to impart his knowledge the best they could to some other geniuses in the United States. And they called in, it was like half a dozen or so, or some group, they called in Woody Woodson's father, recognized a genius on his life, to study under Einstein. And Woody, who had been saved, decided to invite his father to church. Stayed on him till his dad came. And he's going to this little storefront church. I'm surely not nearly as sophisticated as this one, with such fine members. And some of you heard this story before, but he was going and praying, "Father, just dial back the gifts today. My father's an educated man. Just dial back the supernatural today. We don't want to scare him off." And if you heard the story, they had more gifts manifest that service than they'd ever had. Sister Chicken Walk did her best struts. Amen. Have you heard this before? And the preacher preached on hairs of God and joined hairs with Christ. Or hairs of God. And afterward, his father loved it. His father said, "I've never seen anything like that in my life." Don't worry about the supernatural in the services. God's well able to clean up after his messes. I don't do that too well at home. No amen? No, that's right, nothing? I'm good at fixing things. Let somebody else fix the mess I made behind me. I just strew whatever let's go fix the next thing. I don't even put my tools away when I'm done. I throw them on the middle of a table, and when it gets bad enough, I can't find anything, then I'll clean one day and get the whole thing put away. That's why I have so many tools, because I can't find them. So I figure if I have 15 of everything, there'll be one somewhere I'll find. Were you tapping him or pointing at him at all? Okay. You'd have to see my garage. And so, where was I going with that? What was I even saying? Cleaning up the messes. God can clean up after his messes. But let's make a mess he has to clean up for. I mean, let's do something. Let's expect God to move in a fashion that will recognize we are not a counterfeit. Let's, every time we come, and let's expect God to move in our services. Let's believe for the power of God to be poured out. Amen? Because he is a miracle-working, supernatural God. Now, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at what we should be expecting when we come together. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Are you there? Verse 7. "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh at one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." Here Paul lists out 9 spiritual gifts that the church is supposed to be operating in. Let me restate that. He lists 9 supernatural, divinely authored, spiritual gifts we're to be ministering in. Amen? And if these are not operating in a church, there's a good chance it's missing the identifying stripe that declares it's not a counterfeit. If these nine gifts are not manifestation, you're eating cocoa. Because we'll define these nine gifts as the butter and the milk and the sugar and the vanilla and whatever else goes in fudge. Been a while since I've made it. Amen? Do you know Milky Way bars make really good fudge? Just melt them. You got it. Add extra sugar. These identify the church that God is moving through to some level. Now understand, there's churches that are still preaching old doctrines that have tapped into these giftings. You follow me? So you've got to have the word and being released as well. But if you don't have these gifts, something is out of line. Amen. It's like trying to drive your car with no oil in the engine. Guess what? Things are only going to go so far. And I want to go with God all the way. And what I want to say is these nine gifts are not meant just for the ministers, not meant only for a select few. God has designed and He intends for every believer to learn to tap into these gifts. Amen. I believe we should have the whole church learning to prophesy, expecting to lay hands on the sick and see people recover, operating in words of wisdom and words of knowledge. We should be doing that. And I want to take, at least start this morning, looking at these nine gifts to let you know what they are and hopefully create a new desire to move in them. Look over verse 31 to begin with. Paul says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way." What are the best gifts? The one you need at the moment. Amen. What's the more excellent way? He said, "I'm going to show you a more excellent way than the gifts." What's the more excellent way? Love. The next chapter is what we call the love chapter. And it's all about love is patient, love is kind, love does not boast. That's the more excellent way than all of the gifts. God has never intended or designed His kingdom to work outside of love. Amen. But He does desire for those that walk in love to also manifest these giftings. Back to verse number 8. It says, "For to one is given by the Spirit." And really that word "by" there is a word that means through. The word of wisdom. The word of wisdom is a supernatural gift that will come on you that will give you divine revelation above what you could know of yourself, divine revelation of something that's needed to be done or spoken at any point in time. Amen? The word of wisdom, these gifts normally work outwardly, but they'll work in your life in other fashions as well. The word of wisdom would be if somebody comes up in a prayer line, and I'll say, "God says that you should double up on your prayer time. If you'll double up on your prayer time, He's got a breakthrough for you." That would be a type of word of wisdom. Or it would even be that God says you're at home, you're working on a project, and you need this tool, and it's going to be there at Father's Day if you'll come to service. Aim at word of wisdom. You know a word to speak or an application somebody should follow through with in a supernatural fashion. And often when people come up in prayer lines, they'll come up for healing, but God will drop a word of wisdom in you for what that person needs to do or what they need to hear. Amen. Some application in their life they need to follow through. Or divine answers. Go over to Matthew chapter 22. Now wisdom is from the Greek word sophia. And it basically means wisdom, knowing what to do in any situation or what to say. And where I often personally tap into this gift is when I'm working on something and I hit a roadblock and I don't know what to do next. God, I don't know how to get this bolt off. I don't even know how to take this apart. And I'll stop and pray. And revelation will come. Wisdom will come to me often what step to take next. And I've learned if I'll pray ahead of time for what I'm going to do, often wisdom will just come as I'm doing it. Amen. But primarily when we speak of these gifts, we're talking about when we're ministering personally into somebody else's life. Matthew chapter 22, are you there? Wait for me. And that's the wrong verse. Let me go to a different one. Luke chapter 20. Luke 20. And let's go to verse number 20. And they, the religious crowds who is speaking about, watched Jesus and sent forth spies, which had feigned themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. So the enemy's trying to get Jesus to fall into a trap. Amen? And they asked him, saying, Master, they're even feigning like they're interested in what he has to say. They don't care what he wants to say. They're just there to trap him. Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly. Neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute or taxes unto Caesar or no? But Jesus, he perceived their craftiness. Now, it says he perceived their craftiness. That could fall under a category of two different gifts. One of the gifts would be a word of knowledge. By the word of knowledge, he knew they were trying to trap him. God supernaturally brought in understanding of what this was all about. The other gift we're going to look at would be the discerning of spirits. And it could be he saw with eyes of the Spirit. When a discerning of spirits hits you, all of a sudden you see with a different set of eyes. And you see what's behind, what's going on in the background, resulting instead of what's really, let me try to state that again. You're seeing behind the scenes what's really going on. You're seeing the demonic powers in operation. You're seeing the true heart of the individual speaking. And he knew their craftiness. Do you see this? So they've asked him a question that it seems to be no answer. Because he says, yes, you should give to Caesar. Then the people are going to be upset that he's saying to honor Caesar as king versus Father God. If he says, no, there's enough Roman citizens or soldiers around, they can say, hey, he's trying to cause an uprising by saying we should not give into the government that's in control. It looked like a question where there was no appropriate answer, right? So he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny whose image and superscription hath it. They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which belong or which be Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. And they could not take hold of his words before the people, and they marveled at his answer and held their peace. Jesus there, right on the spot, accessed a word of wisdom. The Spirit of God gave him in that situation exactly what to say to those and confounded them. How about Solomon? Remember Solomon when the women came to him and said, hey, we want to eat our baby? And Solomon, I believe the gift of wisdom came on him at that point. Not born again, not filled with the Spirit, but wisdom came to him. God promised him wisdom. And he said, bring me a sword, bring me the baby, let's cut this one up. And of course, the genuine mother said, no, let her have the baby. And they marveled at his wisdom. And so the rightful mother got the baby back, right? Uncooked. God expects these gifts to be operating in our lives. Amen? You even have a right to come up on a prayer line and say, I desire a word from God today. I don't know what to do. I'm in a situation. Amen? And say, God, have this man speak into my life. Many times you will come to church with questions yourself. There may have been verses you were stuck on, and you were saying, God, I need to understand this verse. And you come, and just from the pulpit, your answer would come forth. Amen. What was that? That was a word of wisdom that manifested for you. Not a one-on-one, but it was God bringing you the wisdom you needed for the moment. Amen. This should be operating in the church. It says also, back to 1 Corinthians 12. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. The word knowledge there in the Greek is the word gnosis, which means partial and fragmentary knowledge. But in this case, it's a supernatural knowledge of something, right? This is the one that those that operate in witchcraft are very good at replicating. Because there are devils out there following each of us. There are spirits watching you for your weak points. They're studying you, looking for openings, and they know everything about your life. And those that operate in witchcraft, many times those, mediums, they have learned to listen to spirits that are in connection with these other familiar spirits. That's why people can come to a medium or psychic, that was where they can get a hold of the psychic, and the psychic will tell them precise things about their life. Amen. Why? Because there's communication between the demonic realm that know about you. And it looks like they have knowledge of you, but all they're doing is hearing what the devils are describing. Here's the thing. Psychics can describe the past, but they can't predict the future. Otherwise, they would all be lottery winners. Did you ever notice the psychics always have this little bitty shack? Look like it's held together with, duct tape and whatever else. If they know all that, why aren't they hearing something that would help them have a better building? Amen. If they're so all-powerful, why do they have to charge you $1.99 a minute to listen to you on the phone? They can recognize the past, but not the future. But the word of knowledge is a genuine gift from God. And it's one that will help you know that God's speaking into your life when you come up on a prayer life. Now, in our church, Nancy, a prophetess, or prophet, prophetic, very often speaks into you guys' life. And we call it prophesying. Amen? Nancy's going to prophesy over you. But the truth is, a lot of what she speaks into your life is not prophesying, it's word of knowledge. Followed up with prophesying. When she speaks over people's lives, I listen, and she's going, I see you've been doing this, and this has been going on in your life, and you've had this problem with this, and that's word of knowledge. Do you see that? But then she'll follow it up with a prophetic word, which we'll get to in a little bit, and she'll say, and God says you need to do this. That could be word of wisdom. But then this is coming into your life, that's prophetic. So often when you come up in a prayer line or you have somebody prophetic speaking into your life, you may have all three of those gifts manifest at one time. But we tend to put it all under the category of prophesying. But the word of knowledge is when somebody knows something about you or your situations supernaturally. The first time I was in this church, Alma came up in a prayer line. Can I share this? She's not here, so don't tell her. Nobody tell her. She came up on a prayer line. First time here. Never met her. And I walked up and the anointing was there, the gifts were there. And I said, why a suicide all over your life? She broke down crying and says, I tried to kill myself this week. Well, I know a way of knowing that. That's a word of knowledge. I remember BJ one time, she came to the door and I said, well, I've been praying for you for 3 days. I didn't know she'd been in a major battle for 3 days. But for 3 days, I knew something was going on. Word of knowledge. And anyway, when I go to praying for her, I'm going to see stuff anyway. But when you come up on a prayer line, that gift drops on you. All of a sudden, the person praying for you is describing exactly what's been going on in your life. And Pastor Nancy, I keep calling her Nancy, it's Pastor Nancy, operates in that gift very, very strongly and accurately. That's why I'll give her reins to go. If she was missing it all the time, I say, you need to back off. But she's been very accurate with that gift. Amen. And we need that. She's here because I prayed those gifts in place. Amen. And brought Pastor Tom with her. Just kidding. Verse 9. To another, faith by the same Spirit. The word faith is the word pistis. It means to believe or be convinced of. To be fully persuaded. And the gift of faith is a sudden surge of faith, often in an emergency situation that you need. We understand there's a faith we can tap into through hearing and hearing the Word of God. Right? We can build our faith for divine health. We can build our faith for divine protection. For whatever promise of God there is, we can build our faith. And as a minister, I build my faith for the gifts. Father, I believe for these gifts. Let these gifts come upon me. I believe I receive. Are you following me? I'll go to pray for people and I'll say, Father, let the gift of working miracles come right now. And I can access the gift of I can access the faith I've built up over years to step into. But when the gift of faith comes on you, it transcends your own personal faith. Amen. When the gift of faith is something like, you know, at home, I've got some old manual drills, brace and bit. Used to have a crank one, but I don't know what happened to it. An old manual drill. And if you've ever seen the brace and bit, you put the big bit in it, you do like this, and you bore your holes, and you bore for a while, and then you rest your arm for about 10 minutes, and you bore some more. And that might be representative of your own faith you're building. You're using your own faith. You're going through with your own faith. But I've got some power drills at home that if you drilling with that drill and you don't hold on good or have it where you can let go easy, those drills will break your arm. I mean, I've got a drill at home is probably this long, 3/4-inch drill, Milwaukee. That would probably take your arm off if it got hung up. It's that powerful. And those are synonymous to tapping into the gift of faith. There's that much difference. When you're operating by your own faith, you believe you receive, but you're having to do a battle for what you're believing for along the way. But when the gift of faith hits you, you're smiling because you know it's about to be done. You know that you know God's about to do that. I remember the first time that gift dropped on me in a prayer line. Probably would have been about 1995, 96. I think it was 95. And I had a lady come up to me. I wasn't even the one running a prayer line. But she come up to me right after service and she says, the doctors just told me I have diabetes. But I believe if you'll pray for me, I'll be healed. And I'm telling you what the gift of faith dropped on me. I knew as soon as I prayed for her, she was about to be delivered from diabetes. I knew it. I put my hand on her head and said, Jesus' name. I don't remember what I said. And she literally was slammed I just touched her. She, her body was slammed up against the wall and went back totally healed of diabetes. That was a gift of faith. Now, I understand the working of miracles was there as well, but it was initiated through a gift of faith because I already knew she was going to be healed. Amen. And the gift of faith can hit you for healing. It can hit you for anything. Amen. It can hit you to the ability you believe you can lift a car off of somebody, or, you know, in a time of need, or many different things. But when the gift of faith touches your life, you know that you know you're about to see God move. Some of these gifts we can tap into and learn to flow in almost continuously. I know that I can call Nancy up at any time and say, would you pray for this person? And I'm almost sure most of the time she's going to get a word of knowledge for them, because that she's learned to step into that gift and is active. I know that if I pray for people for healing, almost every time somebody's going to get healed. I have faith in the gifts of healing on my life, that I believe if I pray for them, they're going to get healed. I mean, unless they're just totally rejecting it, God's going to move. So you can learn how to step into these gifts consistently. Pastor Callan, healing and miracles, he knows if you pray for people, they're going to get a miracle. He knows it. Strong, strong faith in those gifts. But the gift of faith, normally, you just don't walk in that gift. I can't just conjure up the gift of faith at any time. God expects us to live by our own faith, just to live by their faith, His faith. You just can't conjure up the gift of faith. That's one where God needs you to do something phenomenal at the moment, and that gift is released to you to be able to do it. Amen. However, I found there's an exception to that. When the glory of God came on me, I'm talking about the full manifested love of God came on me. I don't, 10 years or so ago, I don't remember how long it's been. That love came on me so strong that I so loved everybody, and I knew God so loved everybody. I knew everybody I prayed for was going to be healed. That with the glory of God comes the gift of faith nearly automatically. And when that glory hits this church, you will all be going all through town seeing miracles wherever you go, because you know God's going to do it. No more muster. Oh, I hope he prays. Oh, Lord, let this work. Oh, Lord. There'll be no fear, no concern it's not going to produce. God wants this supernatural in His church. Then He says, healing, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, gifts of healing, plural, means there's more than one way God heals. I believe I've got a lesson back into my notes about ways God's healed. I don't remember all of them right off the top of my head, but sometimes God heals by laying out of hands. Sometimes He heals just by a word of knowledge. Sometimes He heals by taking somebody a prayer cloth. There are many ways that God heals. I did a service in Ghana 3 years ago, where I went to a church and I asked who here is in sickness or has pain. There's probably 100 people there, and virtually every hand went up. And I just spoke, because I knew I didn't have time to lay hands on all 100. I said, in Jesus' name, let everyone here be healed. Wave my hand or something like that. And the power of God swept through, and every single one but one was healed. I said, who wasn't healed? One person came down and cast the devil out of them, and they got healed. Well, that's a gift. Amen? That's one of the ways... gifts of healings, but gifts of healings often manifest a healing that is not impossible naturally to produce. You follow me? In other words, a lot of people come paralyzed, they just feel sick, and hey, if they waited 3 or 4 days, they might get well. But the gifts of healing, they get healed on the spot. Right? In some cases, gifts of healings even accelerate the manifestation of health. People come up to prayer line and they've got a broken bone, you speak it healed, they're going to cut the cast off, it's healed. Now we could call that a miracle or a healing, but it was going to be healed in the long run anyway. But the gifts accelerated that healing. Sometimes gifts of healings heal stuff that the medicine won't cure. They've tried every antibiotic in my life, it's just not working, and you pray and they get healed. But healing produces a restoration of some part of your physical health, some part of your physical body that either hasn't been able to be healed or accelerates that healing. Amen? And we see in here nearly 100% of people that come up in the prayer line instantly healed. Amen. And if we had a show of hands, almost every hand in here would say, I've been healed by that gift in here before. Amen. Praise God for that gift. I'm not rebuking anybody here. But follow me on this. If you're sick, why would you want to stay away from church? Why would you want to stay home? Pull the blanks over here and say, well, I'm just too sick to get to church. My goodness, where else would you want to go but church? Get me to church. Amen. Get me to the anointing. People understand this corporate anointing we have here contains healing. Malachi, the Son of God, shall arise with healing in his wings. There's healing in the air in this church. You can get healed just coming into the services. Come in and get an inoculation of the Holy Ghost. If nothing else, let it accelerate your healing. But for us to stay home when we feel bad, I'm not rebuking anybody. I have nobody in mind. For us to stay home when we feel bad is to say, I really don't believe that gift is there. Or I don't believe I'm qualified to access it. Even if you don't get healed, get in the anointing where there's healing. You want to hear a miracle? You want to hear a miracle? I've been preaching now for 25 years, pretty much nonstop. And I've gotten behind the pulpit with major headaches. Not in many years. I've gotten behind the pulpit with major pain in my body. Not in a long time. I've got behind the pulpit at times where I didn't know if I could stand to preach because of some kind of an attack. But I've never gotten behind a pulpit and the attack remained. The pulpit right here in this church, whichever one we have, it has never been able to stay on me while I was preaching. Now often I'd finish and there the pain would return again. But as long as I was behind this pulpit, a power source hit me that there was no problem. Probably the worst I've ever had behind the pulpit was where I coughed or something, has some congestion. That's it. I've never been driven out of the pulpit by any kind of pain. And usually it'll hit, and by the end of service, I'm healed anyway. Now, if that kind of power is there to sustain me behind the pulpit, what do you think's in the air in this church? Pastor Rebecca, can I share some of your testimony? Pastor Rebecca was having some physical symptoms for some time, fighting it, using her faith with it, getting prayed for. And then she had a tooth abscess that made her make some decisions because it wasn't healing right. And she checked her sugar. Her sugar was 450. And it had been that way for months. Billy Jean, what's sugar level 450 mean? I can't hear you. Coma. Yeah, should have been in the hospital. You know what she was doing? Preaching. Doing her job. With a sugar level 450, the doctors had trouble bringing it down. So she ended up in the... I made her go to the emergency room. Made her go. When I found out what sugar... She said, you get it. I know you're using your faith. You get to the doctor now. Get some help. They gave her an insulin shot. Didn't do anything. Gave her some pills. And it took a few weeks even to have an effect. And it's still running high. And the nurses couldn't understand, why is she still walking? How is she still even alive after this long? You know why? The anointing. The anointing has sustained her. Jerry Seville, I heard him give this testimony years ago. He was petitioning God for more power. God, I want more of your power. I want more of your anointing. Increase your anointing on my life. And finally, God spoke to him and says, Jerry, I can't give you any more anointing. Your body's in too bad a physical condition. Half the anointing I'm giving you now is being used to keep you alive. You want more anointing, you better get in shape. The anointing has supernatural capacity to sustain us. There's healing power inherent in it. And when we come to church, we can access the gifts of healing, which allow us to step into a physical rejuvenation we couldn't have otherwise. And that should be in the end time church. Of all gifts, that should be in the church. I've been to churches before where they tried to play with the gifts. And maybe somebody would prophesy, yea, yea, thus saith the Lord, he loves you with an everlasting love. Well, praise God. That was a tough one. Somebody may even give a tongue and an interpretation. Yea, 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 shandai, shandai, tie my bow tie. The Lord God says he loves you with an everlasting love. I'm not trying to negate those gifts. Are you following me? Make fun of the gifts. I'm just saying some people play with it. But the rubber hits the road. Even prophesying many times comes out of the soul. Right? But the rubber hits the road when it comes to healings. When it comes to miracles. And God wants those gifts in the church as much as the others. But we've kind of got it flipped in here. We see more healings and miracles and the prophetic than we do the other giftings. But God's about to fill all that in. And if I had my choice, give me the power gifts ahead of the other gifts. Because I want to see people healed. Amen. But of course, no one gift is better than the others. What you need manifests is the one that's required at the moment. Verse 10, to another, working of miracles. Working of miracles. The word working there, I believe, is the word energia, where we get energy. And miracles is dunamis. Dunamis. Whichever way you want to pronounce it. Meaning the dynamite power of God. And miracles are a manifestation of God, often regarding healing, that transcend natural healing or medical capacity. For example, blind eyes opening, that is a miracle. That's not a healing. Blind eyes don't heal on their own. You follow me? A limb growing out, they don't do that by themselves. That would be a miracle. Somebody being raised from the dead, that is a miracle. So miracles are moving manifestations of the power of God that transcend the natural course of events. We had the lady come up here a few years ago, and God told me in a prayer line to pray for her, or pray for people that there were people with anxiety. In fact, it was during praise and worship, God said, there are people with anxiety. Pray for people to be freed. So at our prayer line, six people came up. I prayed for each one. There was one woman here who was a first-time visitor. First-time visitor. Some of you were in this service. I prayed for the power of God here. She's on the floor. The entire service, she's on the floor. I'm walking around her preaching. Her daughter was in the service their first time here. And her daughter's like, oh, what do we do? I said, leave her alone. She's on God's operating table. And she was a heavier set woman. Well, she was just tall, too. And, not about that tall, but she was tall. And at the end of service, she finally came to and got up, went home, and took a insulin shot and got sick. So she went to the doctor the next day. And the doctor says, well, you don't have diabetes anymore. You're healed. And then he said, as well, your thyroid is healed. It wasn't where your thyroid's working now. In fact, you don't have any physical problems anymore. He took her off of 48 pills a day plus lithium. Cold turkey. Lithium for anxiety. 48 pills a day, I was told she was taking. Off. And in 1 week, she lost 50 pounds. From that Thursday night to the next Thursday night, she lost 50 pounds. That's not normal. I've been laying hands on myself ever since. Jesus! We'll have a prayer line here in a minute. Amen? Don't you go there. Some of you don't know what this is like. Oh, yeah, I need to lose some weight. Yeah, you're right. 50 pounds, that is a miracle. Now, there was healings in that, but there was a miracle to deliver from diabetes, cause her thyroid to start working again, and lose 50 pounds. That's a miracle. That's a whole set of miracles. In fact, there were more things that followed regarding that. She ended up losing, I think, over 100 pounds within like a month, and went from 285 pounds down to a size 12, 13. Yeah, had some tumors they found. Once she lost the weight, they found some tumors. And when they took it, she lost another 30 pounds. And praise God for those. I love miracles. And God wants that in the church. He wants us to experience the fullness. Oh, my goodness, I'm out of time. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. And it's Father's Day. Let me read through the rest of them. To another prophecy, you're declaring, prophecy takes two forms. Prophecy is to foretell events, but it also is to prophesy. Usually they get to prophecy, somebody, I can't be speeding this up. You stand up and declare what God is revealing at the moment. We'll come back to this. Is getting out of this today? Father, we thank you for your word. We ask you to seal it in us. Take us to the place as a church we manifest every single gift that the devil can't counterfeit. We thank you in Jesus' name. So be it. Amen. Hug some necks. Show the love of God. Be a blessing.